And today I'm really happy to be here with one of the co-founders of Hockey App, my good friend Thomas.
Hey, I'm Thomas, and as Donovan is so competitive, I need to beat him. So I'm a developer for almost 30 years. I started from this box store there in the top right. That's KC87 from East Germany, where I grew up.
Wow.
As Donovan said, I'm a co-founder of Hockey App, and I'm now principal peer manager at Microsoft, responsible for both Hockey App and Xamarin Test Cloud. And I love playing with Lego if I don't spend on stage with Donovan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when we have time to actually relax, which isn't often lately. Yeah. So let's talk about mobile. So what you saw me do in the keynote was basically just scratch the surface of our capabilities when it comes to mobile DevOps, right? We have a lot of cool technology. We have Hockey App, which allows you to distribute. We have Xamarin that allows you to develop. We have Xamarin Test Cloud that allows you to test. And then we can glue all that together for you with Visual Studio Team Services. So what we want to talk about today is how mobile is actually transforming the way that we live our lives. I can't think of an action or a question that I'm asked today that the first instinct isn't to grab my phone. What time is it? I reach for my phone, right? What do you have to do tomorrow? I reach for my phone. What time do you have to wake up? I reach for my phone. It is how I communicate with my family. It's how I do my job. It is literally my wallet, right? Because how many of us now can pay literally with our phones? So it has changed the way that we live our lives. It's transforming the way that we work, the way that we play, the way that we entertain, the way that we learn is all done through our mobile devices today. And that puts a lot of stress on the developers of those mobile applications because it's a fierce, fierce world. I'm competitive, but have you tried to put an app in the App Store? There is a dozen other apps trying to do the exact same thing that your app is trying to do. And God forbid your app messes up, because it only takes one mistake for me to uninstall it, give you a one-star rating, and go to somebody else. Right? It's fierce, fierce competition out there. So what we're going to do today is walk you through some of the innovations, some of the tools, and some of the ways that here at Microsoft we can actually help you on your mobile journey, regardless if you're doing Android, iOS, or even Windows Phone as well. Okay. Anything else you want to add to that, Thomas? Or is that a good?
No, that was good.
Level up everything good? So mobile has happened, right? This isn't something that's happening, right? If you look at the stats here, right, it's happened so much faster than anything else in our world. It has taken over the way that we live our lives. So these trends that we're putting up here, these statistics on how fast things used to happen, I remember the internet. I still remember AOL, and I used to get the free discs, right, and get 10 minutes and go in a chat room and thought I was cool, right? That's all over, right? The internet has changed the way we live, but phones even more, right? It is literally an explosion of the way I order pizza. When I want a Domino's pizza, I literally grab from my phone and use the app. Book tickets, everything that I do in my life is done on my phone. It's scary, actually, how much I'm dependent on it.
And you kind of realize that when you are in New Zealand, right, and you don't have internet like you do on your Verizon contract.
Exactly.
And now all of a sudden you're in a restaurant and you cannot use your phone, right? This is how addicted we become.
It's like handicapping me, right? Not being able to use what I use every single day. It's a very valid point. And then whenever I travel abroad, it's when I feel most vulnerable, right? Because I'm disconnected. It forces me to disconnect, which is good, because one of the downsides of having that mobile phone do everything for you is that you're always on. You're always at work, right? And sometimes you just need to disconnect. My fiance will tell you, I work on average 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's because I can do it anywhere that I go, right? And it's actually a sickness that I need to do something about. So another thing that's really important here is that the mobile experience is extremely important for my vision or my opinion of a company. If they're not on my mobile phone, if they're not making my life easier, then I'm probably gonna go to someone who is, because they're now gonna be everywhere that I am. If I have to be at my PC to use your service, that's not where I am 90% of the time. 100% of the time, my phone is in my pocket, right? Or it's by my bedside, or it's right by my PC. That is where I wanna go, that's where I wanna work, that's where I wanna play. So if you're not doing that, and your competition is doing that, you end up being the guy who's losing. Right?
And we're now all critics, right? Who hasn't gone to the App Store and rated one star and said, this is a shitty app, I don't want to use it anymore. Everybody is now an expert in experience, and everybody expects high experience from every single app.
And another thing that's really bad about that is that keeping a customer is so much easier than regaining a customer that you've lost. You understand what I mean by that? Is that if I go to another customer or another vendor for that solution, they have to screw up before I even reconsider you again. Right? It's not as if like, okay, you'll get it better next time. I'm going to go use a superior product until you do better, and then I'm going to come back. No, that product now has to fail at some point to make me want to reevaluate the pool of other alternatives out there. So you don't want to lose a customer, because now they have this negative connotation. Your reputation has been tarnished, and you have to wait for everyone else to fail and me come back around, round robin, to, okay, let me try you again. right? Since everyone else has failed too, that's very rare today. With the tools that we have, and I do this a lot to our customers, I kind of scare them and say, all this DevOps talk that you hear me talking about already, your competition is also our customers. And I've already had this conversation with them. Put that in perspective. They're already doing this. If you're the last person that I'm telling this to, you're already starting behind the curve, right? So they're already doing it better and you're playing catch up. So the DevOps is not something to be debated. It is something to be implemented, right? There is no discussion here on if it's the right thing or the wrong thing or should we do it or not. You should have done it yesterday, right? So you got to get on board. You got to continuously deliver value to your end users, continuously. Otherwise, they'll go somewhere else. So everything is an app now, right? That was the great slogan for when iPhone first came out, right? There's an app for that.
Yeah.
And that's more true now than ever, that there's an app for everything.
It's not only true for the consumer space, it's also true for the business space. Right?
Absolutely.
At Microsoft, we use hundreds of apps every day. I use an app to call a shuttle. I use an app to improve my employee expenses.
Yep.
All that is an app. And now we call this the appification of the business because businesses can no longer only have one app. They have a multi. They need to have a multi-app strategy. And with that multi-app strategy, there's new challenges, right? This is what you're talking about with DevOps. I have those thousands of devices that I need to support. I have those hundreds of builds that I want to upload, and I need a strategy, a DevOps practice to solve that.
Right, because without DevOps, it becomes a burden. You will literally basically crush under the weight in the maintenance of having to manually deploy, manually test, manually do everything for these applications because the volume of them is simply too large today. Not only for the doing the business, but for your consumers as well, like you said, right? It's how we do business, and it's how we actually make money through our customers as well. The device proliferation, that is very unique to mobile. Web applications spoiled me to death. I deployed to one web server, I was done, right? All my customers instantly got that update, and life was really good. Then we got more and more browsers, so finally I had to test it on Firefox and Chrome and Safari, and that was bad, but nowhere near this. I long for the days I had four browsers to test against versus the thousands of devices I now have to be responsible for. The OS versions, the screen resolutions, the form factors, it's staggering what it takes. And now, thanks to things like Test Cloud, and like Xamarin, I can now focus on what I do best, which is being creative and being innovative, and not worry about the developing it three times or four times, testing it multiple times, and doing it manually, which is just a time-consuming, laborious, error-prone task, right? Never, ever, ever send a human being to do a machine's job, ever, right? Because we make mistakes, which is what makes us human, right? We get tired. We don't exploratory test the exact same way over and over again. We need to automate as much as we can to stay competitive, just keep our velocity high. If it takes me 48 hours to test everything, I can't deliver every 24 hours. But my competition is. So you have to automate where you can. I'll tell a story later when automation is king, but there's times you still need manual intervention as well, and
yep.
We have tools for that as well. All right. The mobile lifecycle. I kind of showed this very, very quickly, right, on stage of all the different pieces that you need. The first thing you need to do is you need to be able to build the application and develop it. So here I am inside of my IDE. I can be on Mac or I can be on a Windows machine. I can be using Xamarin Studio or I can be using Visual Studio. And you don't have to be using Xamarin, guys, right? This is a true lifecycle if you're using Xcode, if you're using Objective-C, if you're using Cordova. This doesn't change, right? And we have tools to help you no matter how you're developing your application. You develop it. You commit it. Now you're going to commit it into a repository. 90% of you guys are probably using Git. If not, you're probably going to be using it regardless if you like it or not. I do not like it, right? I'm an old fogey. I like things the way they were. Check in, check out was easy. I don't know what the hell a rebase is or whatever that other stuff is. Don't want to know. But eventually, I get my code into a repository and it starts building it instantly, right? And I can build it on a Mac, I can build it on Linux, and I can build it on Windows thanks to our new build system. If you used our old build system 2013 and back, I'm sorry about that build system. That's all I can say to you is I'm sorry. Our new build system is awesome, right? But one thing I want to talk about our system here real quick. Obviously, Microsoft wants you to use all of it if you can. But we know better than to assume that you can ditch all the investments that you've made in the tools you have today. A lot of you are using Jenkins because you evaluated Jenkins against our old build system, and Jenkins was better than our old build system. And now what we want to do is allow you to leverage that. So if you're already using Jenkins, you can continue to use Jenkins and the rest of our pipeline still works. If you're already using GitHub and you don't want to move to ours, but you want to use everything else, ours still works. You can use whatever vertical that we're going to talk about today in isolation if you want to, or replace any tool that we offer you with a tool of your choice. Right? It's gone are the days of Microsoft that said it has to be .NET, it has to be Windows. It can be any tool that you want, targeting any language, right? Any language, any platform. Don't believe me? Come tomorrow and watch. I'm going to actually let you pick the language, you pick the platform, and you even pick if I'm going to do it on a Mac, a PC, or on a Linux machine. That's how serious I am. And we can do that for mobile just as easily. Once the code has actually been built by our CI system, it's now time for you to test it. And this is where the Xamarin Test Cloud comes in. Upload your test, let us run a battery of tests for you against thousands of physical devices. Not emulators, not simulators, physical devices. I've actually seen one of these data centers before. You see the normal racks, but when you get closer to the rack, there's no computers in there. There's just phones laying up there, and all of a sudden, I was lucky enough to see a test start on one of the phones. App popped up, next thing I know, they're using the app, and then the app went away. I was like, that was pretty freaking cool, right? So we're able to do that for you across thousands of physical devices for you that you can't do yourself. And then finally, it's time to distribute, and this is where this guy comes in, right? He worked for the company and helped co-found the company that allowed us to distribute the code in a way that we had never distributed it before. If you've done mobile development, you know you have to put your phone in a special mode. You have to tether it to your device so that you can sideload that application onto your device so you can go off and test it. But HockeyApp had the technology that allowed us to do this right over the air. You get basically get a notification, which we'll show you later, that you have a new version, like I did in the keynote this morning, and then instantly install that app on my device. I could even go back and restore older versions if I wanted to. It's an extremely powerful technique, and it's extremely powerful technology. Now, this is where I'm going to let my friend Thomas talk about it here, because this is new since the last time you and I have done this.
Yeah. So now the app is on the device, right? And we want to make sure that it's not leaking to outside people of our company or to people that should not have access. So we want to secure the app on the device, and this is where Intune technology comes in, either with device enrollment or with application management. And so we make sure that the app, no matter how it's distributed to our employees or to our testers, is made secure, that we protect copy and paste, that we protect our business data from the customer's data.
Right, so this is more of a type of application. You would do this on a business app, not on something you would send to your consumers or your customers, right?
It could be both, right? Because you integrate the Intune MEM SDK, and then the app is protected depending on how you sign into the app. So
gotcha.
Let me give you Word as an example. Word can be a consumer app where you know write a letter to your mom or something.
Right.
Or it can be a business app where you manage your business strategy or your financial data.
Perfect.
And so depending on which Office 365 account you use to sign in, you might be protected or unprotected in your personal life.
Awesome. Yeah. That's actually a really good example. I'm glad I asked. So after it's been secured, it's now in the hands of our testers and our users, and there's certain information that we want to be able to gather from them. Some of them are crashes. This is a really important information so that when it crashes, it collects enough information so that I can diagnose why it crashed, where I was in my call stack, what symbols were on the stack, what functions that I was in, what hardware it was running on, memory usage, all that kind of information, so that hopefully I can look at this and say, oh man, I know exactly where that is, without having to go back and try to duplicate it myself. In addition to crashes, we can actually monitor the application. We define DevOps at Microsoft as the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. The only way that we know if we determine if we delivered value or not is to monitor the application. If I just add a new feature and no one is using that new feature, did I deliver value? The answer is no. But how do I know if they're using the feature or not? I have to monitor it as they're using it. I can put telemetry in the code that says, did someone click that new feature? And then what percentage of the people who use my app are actually clicking it? If the percentage is zero, you did not deliver value. You just copied random files to a server. But if 50%, 60% are actually using that feature, you can go back in and use that to say, wow, this is an important part of our application. Let's go invest more in there. Let's go innovate in that particular area because people found value there, right? And that's what we did with monitoring. And then we can learn from that. Because if I were to go and look at my product backlog, which is basically a laundry list of any and everything that I want my product to do, and I do the first thing and no one finds it, I can learn from that and say there's one of two problems here. Basically, our marketing's no good, it's not intuitive on how I find it, or it simply is not valuable enough. And what I can do then is I can do some experiments, maybe do some marketing behind it, watch my monitoring, determine if that was actually a good investment or not, or people are actually finding it and saying this is just stupid. And if they find that, I can learn from that and say what I thought was important is not important, and I need to readjust the priorities of my product backlog. This is changing the way that we deliver value on a continuous basis, is being able to do this not only on our mobile apps, but we do this on the server backends, we do this on our microservices, we do this on all the software that we write. We have to make sure that we're truly delivering value and not just randomly copying files around. So this is the process which we're going to help you try to automate throughout this entire thing. And we have tools, like I said, that will help you from beginning to end. But please do not think that we're trying to lock you in. We're not trying to do vendor lock-in here. We just simply said no one else in the world has an entire solution. I can say pretty confidently, if you are building a mobile DevOps pipeline right now and you're not using Microsoft, you are using more than one vendor. Why? Because we're the only people who have it all, period. Right? So every time you add a vendor, you add complication, you add complexity, you add integration points. And now someone at your organization is now responsible for making sure all those disparate tools talk to each other. And should something stop working, they have to stop doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is adding value to our end users, and here they are trying to work on your tool chain. So what we try to do at Microsoft is eliminate that completely for you. If we do everything, it automatically talks to each other. So there's nothing for you to do but check in code and watch the value go rushing into your end users. Okay? So what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about how do we go ahead and create that mobile app. There's several ways, right? And that's why we made sure that we supported the Xcode developers and the Android developers who were doing Android Studio before Xamarin showed up. There were people who started using Apache Cordova. What was that? It was called PhoneGap or something, PhoneGap, 1.2, yeah. Right? So this is where I always told people, if you're a web developer, you probably want to go that route because you immediately are familiar with HTML and CSS and all that good stuff that allows you to be pretty effective. And it's a compromise at best, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it does give you that kind of a look and feel, but it's not quite the best. And then you basically have, I'm going to write it three different times, which is just a nightmare. It's a maintenance nightmare. It's complicated. You now have three teams in your organization all responsible for the same app, but they're writing it three times, right? Sometimes there's a bug in one and not in the other. Things like that, which becomes really hard to maintain that product. And then finally, you have Xamarin, who basically rode in on their white horse and said, we're going to fix all this for you, right? One language for your code, one language for your UI, and we're going to take care of all the rest for you. Literally, I would not write mobile unless Xamarin showed up. I simply was refusing to learn Objective-C. I was like, I just wasn't going to do it. So I'm so glad that they're here, and I'm so glad that we were able to acquire them because it now makes it more tightly integrated into our solution. Not only did we acquire them for their technology, but when we did that, we put it in every SKU. Do you guys realize that? If you go and download the free version of Visual Studio, Xamarin is in there. We are literally giving mobile development to everyone, right, without even having to pay for it. So I think we changed the game when it came to mobile and literally gave it to the masses by acquiring them. Okay, so DevOps. I just gave you the definition of DevOps from Microsoft, and that applies no matter what type of software that you're writing here. And it's really about taking everything that you need. We use a tool called Team Services or Team Foundation Server. And what that allows us to do is everything that you need. It's the agile planning, right? Because for us to be writing software, someone had a brilliant idea. I want this to be a piece of software that I think is going to solve a problem. You have to have a place for you to actually groom that particular work item, to break it down, to estimate how long it's going to take, to do wire diagrams or whatever, proof of concepts, and what do we do, experience reviews and all that kind of stuff. That data goes into your planning tools. And now you need to check it in. We offer, which I think is really rare, I don't know of any other vendor that offers two different types of source control integrated into their solution. Do you know of anyone else? Usually, like most of them do one or the other. Mm-hmm. We started centralized, check in, check out. I'm old school, piece of cake, right? And then Git became extremely, extremely popular. And instead of us just doing an about face and saying we're going to forget about all of our centralized source control, which works, by the way, and for some applications is perfectly fine, we decided to add Git to our solution. So now you get to choose between centralized or Git or both. We really don't care. It's the same Git that you use today with GitHub. We just don't charge you for private repos. Unlimited private repos. It's the same Git you know and love. It's not J++ or Git++ or some type of Microsoft flavor of Git. It is the same Git that you use from everyone else just for free. Okay? Once it's in source control, we're going to start our build. And our build system is fantastic now. I'm just a huge fan of it because it's no longer XAML-based, it's now, workflow-based, it's now based off of Task, and we can build it on Linux, Mac, or Windows, which means we can build your iOS, your Android, and your Windows applications as well. So this is release management. This is probably why I'm standing here. I love this product. I attached myself to this product when it got acquired. It was about the same time I got acquired from Microsoft as well. So release management came in. I joined Microsoft, and I thought to myself, holy mackerel, this is what TFS had been missing. the entire time that I'd been using it, from 2005 to about 2013. This was going to fill that gap and actually make it a DevOps solution and not just a CI/CD or SDK, I mean a SDLC type of solution, but really take us that final mile. It allows us to automate the deployment of the bits that we've created in our build to any platform you want. Azure, mobile, Docker, Swarm, DCOS, AWS, Google, Bluemix, we really don't care, right? Just bring us your binary and we will help you deploy that binary anywhere you want it to go. And we can also have human approvals, not humans doing anything, but basically humans giving us a thumbs up. That environment is ready for your bits. Our system will happily say, okay, everyone's giving us a thumbs up. Let me go install those bits for you so that humans don't get involved. But it's still, there's time where you need that human approval, and we actually automate that just for you as well and solicit all the approvals and get all the sign-offs for you. And then finally, it's time for our first demo.
Yeah.
Thomas, take it away. I think you got it now.
Sorry about that. So we have prepared a little demo app. It's actually a demo app that one of our new Xamarin friends brought with him. The developer is called James Montemagno, and the app is here seen on the simulator. It's called Coffee Tipper, and I use it to figure out how much tip I want to give in the coffee shop. So what I can do in the app is I can enter how much my coffee is. So let's say we are in Seattle, so it's like more like $4.50. And then I can pick what kind of coffee it is. So I like latte, so I pick latte here. And so that's 50 cents tip. And then I can say, okay, it's tempered espresso, so that increases the tip to $1. I can also say I'm at Starbucks, and then the tip goes away. And so so that's a little demo app. And what I don't like about this app here, just as a demo, is that I don't like the red reset button. I want to be a bit more blue. So I switch over here to Xamarin Studio. That's my Xamarin Studio solution. It's Xamarin Forms, so I have an iOS target here and an Android target here, and then my shared code in XAML. So my whole tip page UI is written in XAML, and I can simply edit the XAML file here and say, okay, instead of this red tone, I want a blue tone. So let's move over to color of blue. I stop my simulator here, and I start it again, and now my app should come up with the blue button in just a few seconds. And this is really cool, right? Because I have the same code base. So now if I would launch an Android emulator, I would actually see the same app on Android at the same time as my iOS app. And I can see here my button is blue now. That's all the development I want to do. And now I want to commit my solution into my repository. And in contrast to Donovan, I love Git. And as he mentioned, we don't lock you in. So I'm using GitHub here and not VSTS, a Git repository. So I go into version control here right from my Xamarin Studio solution. I review my commit. Looks fine to me. I said change reset button to blue. I click on commit, and then I push, because that's what I do in Git. I push my changes, and now my changes go into GitHub, and then GitHub issues a webhook into my build solution. And I show you this here in VSTS. Let me quickly go to my project here. So that's my coffee tipper project in VSTS. I already set it up. I have a little dashboard. I can quickly file a work item from here. I can see I have four open issues, and then I see my build history. So over the last few days, I've been building this app, and some builds were failing. Those are the red ones here, and some builds were successful. Those are the green ones. And to find the builds in VSTS, I go through the new top navigation in our new VSTS UI. I click on build and releases, and I click on builds, and there's my two build pipelines, one for iOS and one for Android. And as I've just pushed my code from Xamarin Studio, both are triggered automatically. And I want to show you how that works. So I click on the little dot icon here on edit to show you what's happening in the iOS build. So here's my iOS build pipeline. And the first thing I want to show you is how it's triggered. So I click on triggers here. And you can see I check the checkbox for continuous integration, which means whenever I push a change into my Git repository, a build is started. Now, if I push like 15 commits, I don't want 15 builds, right? I want one build for the push, so I batch the changes together. And then I can also filter the branches I want to build on. So here in that example, I'm building the master branch. Now, if you check here in build, those are all my build steps. And you can see it's really simple. It's four steps to build my whole Xamarin solution on iOS. And I actually have extra steps. So this is actually the one that's building the app, right? All it takes is my solution. And I did nothing else in the configuration here. I simply gave it the pass to the solution, and that's it. And then I do one thing before this. I have this little version assemblies task which lets me update the version number of my app. So whenever I build a new version, I get automatically a higher version number. And all I had to do is find out this regular expression here that takes the 1.0.0 and replaces it with 1.0.265. And then after the build, I run a little bash script. And that's really the power of the new build system, because I can think about it. I'm at Microsoft running a Visual Studio Team Service tool with a bash on my Mac, right? So I'm running this little bash script here. And all it does, it's taking the Git log and then takes a one-liner from my Git log and takes the last three commits and pushes it into a notes text file. And you will see later why we need this. And so I get my notes file. And then last but not least, I have my artifacts, my IPA file, my DSIM file, and I upload them into Visual Studio Artifact Store. And now back to slides, and Donovan will show you what we can do with those artifacts in the next phase.
Perfect. And one thing I'd like to point out real quick about those tasks that he's showing you there, you can extend those yourself. They're extremely, extremely easy to write. If you can write PowerShell or you know Node, you can write your own tasks to do whatever you want them to do. And we have a marketplace where not only competitors, but partners and a lot of our OEMs have actually gone off and started writing a lot of these valuable extensions for you that you can just install for free. So don't think just because it's not in our task list, you can't do it. Another thing that I want to point out, and he used it with that command line, is that anything that you can do from the command line, you can do from our build and our release system. I'm going to say that again. Anything that you can do from a command line, and I mean anything, you can do it from our build and from our release system. So if you have a thumb drive full of scripts that you run to do a deployment, we can automate all those for you. We can literally call those for you with the right parameters on Mac, on PC, or on Linux. Anything that you can do from a command line. If you don't have a command line tool, but you have a REST API, we can exploit that too, because it runs on Node and it runs on PowerShell, and we can easily call those for you. Guys, the sky is the limit with this build system. I have yet to meet anything that I cannot build with it. So I'm at Donovan Brown on Twitter. You think you can stump me, just tweet at me what language you think you can stump me with. A guy tried me with VB6. Go to DonovanBrown.com right now. There's a blog post on how to do all of this with VB6. Hardest part? Installing VB6 on server 2012. Once I got that done, the rest was easy. So basically, what we're going to talk about is testing again. I kind of made a joke in the keynote. If you're not testing, shame on you. It's true, guys. It's the only way you deliver value, right? Everyone who thinks that they're actually saving time by not writing tests is delusional. Because the time that you think you save is lost when you're fighting a fire of a bug that got into production that should have never been there in the first place. Okay, think about that. The next time you're fixing a bug, tell me how long it took. And think about how long did it take you to write a unit test to fix that bug, right? Trust me, it's shorter. And you don't lose your reputation, because trust me, that one bug might be the one that sends me to your competition, and I'm never coming back, okay? So think about that. Tests are cheap. And what we want to do is we want to automate as many as we can. We also need to do manual tests. I'll talk about that one here in just a second. So Xamarin Test Cloud, and I want to put a shout out to one of my favorite partners, Perfecto Mobile. I'm a huge fan of Perfecto Mobile. They actually have Windows devices in their cloud, which we need to fix in our own. But so they're basically a partner of ours that allows you to do the exact same thing that we do with Xamarin Test Cloud, right? So if you're already using them, you don't have to stop using them, right? They're a really good partner of ours, great, great solution. And you can automate your tests using whatever technology that you want, right? So if you have some other homegrown system that knows how to automate your testing, we'll go ahead and run those tests for you as well. I think we're decades away. I'm just curious what you think about not needing manual testing. I think we're decades away from that.
Yeah, you will always need automatic testing just because your population is so big, right?
Sure.
Is it China or is it New Zealand?
Sure.
And everybody has a different locale, different currencies.
Right.
And you will never be able to run that many tests on automated devices. You always need your user feedback.
Right. The other reason that I think it's important is because if there is a user interface involved, there probably needs to be a human being that at least looks at it once to make sure that everything looks right. Automation will blindly click a button that a human being might not click. I'll tell you a story real quick. So this company has great automation. The developer goes and makes a very simple CSS change. All the automation is green. They push it out into production. All of a sudden, revenue dips. Everyone's confused. They don't understand. Everything was green. What's going on? It was a simple CSS change. What harm could he do? The last button of the wizard, after I put in my credit card, that CSS change made the text and the button the same color. Am I clicking that button? I'm not clicking that button. A computer, however, said that is the ID of the button I'm supposed to click. So it happily clicked a button that had absolutely no text on it. No person in their right mind puts in their credit card and then clicks a button that has no text on it, right? So that's where I think manual testing is still something we're going to need a while, as long as there's a user interface. If it's just a web API or REST API, that you can test 100% automated. There is no user interface anyway. But just be wise. Automate wherever you can, but that does not mean you automate everything, right? Just be careful there. This is our Xamarin Test Cloud. This interface is fantastic, right? That's probably why I love the user interface. I love the richness of what we're able to see. The fact that we can record video, so that instead of me having to go back and say, okay, I see it failed, let me fire this up on my own device and click through it, I can literally watch a video of it being executed and see exactly where it failed. I can get a lot of rich data from it as well, so that I can quickly diagnose. And again, you have an access to devices that you simply would never have access to, nor should you try to buy all those devices, right? So we allow you to go ahead and provision what you need, run the test, and get back all the data that you need from those particular devices. It's fantastic. So now we have to do continuous delivery. And this is where HockeyApp comes in again, right? It allows us to do a lot more than just distribution. We used to have, and correct me if I'm wrong, Xamarin Insights is now rolled into HockeyApp, yes. Right? So when it comes to monitoring, the same insights that you were getting from Xamarin Insights are now actually baked into HockeyApp, because those teams have kind of come together as one. We also have the ability to distribution, which we talked about before, and then engagement. What we mean by that is that not only can it give you information when it crashes, a person can just solicit positive feedback. Guys, I really love the way that you're doing this. Do more of this. They can actually send that feedback through the app directly to HockeyApp. Because HockeyApp is so integrated with Visual Studio Team Services, those become work items right back into my Agile Planning Board. So that idea becomes a new feature. That crash becomes a new bug. There's no more me having to manually go and say, okay, what happened over here? Let me copy and paste data over to here. The systems automatically do that for you. So we can engage our customers in a way that we've never done before because the technology allows us to get that feedback from them. This is how we used to do it, right? This is how we did it before we had this cool technology of HockeyApp. You had to tether your device. You had to put it in some funky little mode and go into the settings and find that one thing that said, okay, I understand that I'm basically giving you free reign of my machine. It was a very uncomfortable and cumbersome way to do development. And it was hard to get it to a lot of people because they had to be tethered to a device to do it. But now we basically have HockeyApp. What HockeyApp allows you to do is to manage your entire portfolio of your mobile devices and the mobile applications. And then whenever there's a new version of that, the individual gets an update just like I did in the keynote earlier. It basically said, hey, Donovan, there's a new version of this app. Would you like it? I was able to click on show, see the release notes from the developers, and make sure this was a build that I actually wanted to put on my machine. I clicked on install, and right over the air, like I had downloaded it from the App Store, this app appeared on my device. If it crashed, I could send crash analytics. If I wanted to, I could send positive feedback. And all the monitoring and telemetry that we put in there was going to automatically start sending back to our developers. So back to Thomas. Show us your baby.
OK, so I finished my last demo with the build process, right? So here's my build output. You can see my build ran through. We got the sources, we increased all the build steps were successful, and you can also see it ran only 110 seconds, so about 2 minutes. Now, what do I do with my artifacts, right? The IPA file, the DSIM file. I could just go here into artifacts and download my drop, but that's not how we do it. We want to wrap DevOps on it. We want to do it automatically. So instead of downloading my artifacts, I want to upload them to some other system, in our case, Test Cloud and Hockey App. So I go here into the release management process. And what release management offers me, it completely lets me automate my release process, be it to automated testing, to distribution, to Intune, or to the App Store. So here I have my two release pipelines. I click on the one that I have defined for iOS. And similar to build, I want to quickly show you how that works. So I go into my release definition. And you can see I have two environments, one for Test Cloud and one for dogfooding. And each environment can run in separately or staged by each other. So right now, I first upload my build to Test Cloud, and that's a simple Test Cloud task here that takes my APA file, uploads it into Test Cloud, and then runs all my tests. And then the second step, it takes my build from HockeyApp, it takes my build from the Artifact Store and uploads the build to HockeyApp. So if I click here on the HockeyApp task, you can see it takes the binary pass, it takes the symbol pass, and then it takes my release notes file here. And you will see later why that is important. It gives me the opportunity to see the release notes, my commit log, on the download page, so every tester knows what went into that build. And then I can decide whether I want to publish that build or keep it staged and then release it later. Now, I've already mentioned in the build phase how we trigger this automatically whenever a commit happens. So I do a commit, a build is created. And now I want the same for my release pipeline. Whenever a build is created, I want to automatically deploy it. And I can do this here with the continuous deployment checkbox. So every time I create a build, I release it to some pipeline. And so I have the two test cloud and the dogfooding environment. And as you can see here, that triggered automatically after release creation. So I'm not even waiting for the tests for the dogfooding stage. Both of those run in parallel. But I can change that. I can say I only want to ship my build to my employees after the tests were successful. So I can do that here. I say I want to do that after the successful deployment of another environment, and then pick that other environment, which is test cloud. And this way, my dogfooding stage runs after all my tests are successful. Now I go, sorry about that. I go back here to my environments. I want to show you something else. So I can, let me add another environment here. So I just take an empty environment. I don't care about the settings. And then I call that App Store. Now, you say, App Store, how is he doing that? So I can actually add a task here. We have tasks for the Apple App Store, for Google Play, and for the Windows Store. So you can see here's the App Store release task. You can see here's the Google Play release task. And down there, there's the Windows Store task. So you can not only automate your deployment to Test Cloud and to HawkCAP, you can completely automate your release process all the way to the App Store. So if I go here into the App Store release, and you see the App Store task, and if I click on this, similar, I need to configure my connection, I need to specify my bundle ID, and then my path to the IPA file, but can even go a step further into advanced settings. Where is it here? Production. And upload metadata, like basically my description for the app, what has changed in the build. I can upload screenshots. Everything that's necessary for the App Store release, I can automate with release management. Now, do we really want to have every developer push the build into the App Store? No, we want to have some kind of approval. And I can do this here in my environment. I can say, OK, for the App Store, only for the App Store environment, I want to have somebody who approves this. So I go here, I say, click assign approvers. I say specific users, and then I pick Jacob, who is our engineering director. So he makes the call, right? So whenever all the tests were successful, the build went to Hawkey app, he gets an email and say, hey, Jacob, do you want to release that build into the App Store? And then he can say approve. And now what happens is that all the screenshots, all the metadata, everything was already prepared and goes live into the App Store. And even better, a year later, we can go back. We can see, oh, this was the build that was approved by Jacob. All the tests were successful, that we can go into the tests, and then we can go back all the way to the commit message that created this App Store release. So that's the real power of release management.
I'm going to clap for that even if you're not. That's freaking amazing, right, to be able to do that. Do me one favor. Can you go back to the release screen that had the check marks on it? And this is on a personal note. Just go back to the full list of all your releases.
Oh, okay.
Okay, guys, this is a personal note for me, and it's something that Microsoft is starting to take extremely seriously. I'm colorblind, and I used to look at the screen, and that red one with the X and the green ones with all the checks, they look exactly the same to me. So when I'm going through a list of releases, I had to hover over every single one of those to determine if it was successful or not. And when you have a lot of releases going, that's a really painful experience. We have actually been very aggressive about accessibility at Microsoft. And what we've been doing is going back and reviewing VSTS in particular to make sure that people who are colorblind, completely blind, or have any type of disability are able to use this tool. So to you, it's just a little checkbox. To me, it's an extremely personal, and this shows me how much we are trying to go back in and do that. So we're really, really trying to make sure that this is a tool that everyone can actually use. So I'm really proud of just that check mark, right? So I always point out that.
So now our build went onto Hawkey app, and now you in the audience can try it out yourself. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, go to those two AKMS links, and you can directly install the app that we committed during the first demo on your phone. If you're on an iPhone, you need to, and you do it for the first time, you need to then trust the developer in settings, check on the download page. We have a little section there how to do that. And then basically you can try the app yourself during the rest of the keynote.
Great, and what about if I have a Windows phone?
Not in this demo.
Yeah, right. I had a Windows Phone app in mind. That's all I'm trying to say, right? I had all three of them in mind.
Okay, so AKM is Q-tip for your iPhone, AKM is Cat-tip for your Android phone, and we're back to Donovan with
slides. I think you're too fast for the clicker. Nope. There we go.
Okay.
Stop. Okay. Okay, so crashes are obviously important. How do we actually get that information so that our developers can analyze it? Normally, how do we get it? An email, a one-star rating, right? An email, if the customer likes you enough to at least email you that something bad has happened. Otherwise, you get a one-star rating, they go somewhere else. So what we're able to do instead is not necessarily have to, what do I say? We basically reduce the friction in them getting us that information, so it's literally just a button click for them. I actually have a crash in the app that I showed you this morning. I just didn't demo it. I can actually click on a button, it'll cause it to crash. As soon as I fire it back up, it says, hey, looks like the app crashed. Would you like to send this information to the developer? And then I get this crash dump and all this really rich information that I can use during my crashes. So this is a really powerful tool to be able to find your crashes. But again, I talk about more than just crashes, right, guys? It's about getting positive feedback. It's about learning about how they're using your applications and what we call custom telemetry. Custom telemetry is when a developer is actually able to add code when he's developing that feature that says, hey, every time this happens, let me know. Or every time they abandon their shopping cart, I'd like you to tell me how many dollars were in that shopping cart. Because maybe we start to see that as our customers get over $150, they abandon it. Maybe we should start sending them coupons. Maybe we should start doing something to those baskets that are really high that might encourage people to go ahead and commit that. So what we're doing is we're making hypotheses about the way that our apps are being used. We're able to then run an experiment, just like a scientist, which is basically putting a new change out there, and then monitoring and validating if that was a positive or false hypothesis, right? Hypothesis-based development. It takes monitoring to be able to do that. And that's what we're able to do for you for mobile, and we're able to do it for backend. The demo that I did this morning wasn't just about mobile, because that mobile app has a SQL Server backend, it has web services in the backend, it had a web counterpart. There's a lot to that solution. And that entire solution needs to be monitored, right? So I can use tools like Application Insights when I'm no longer on mobile. Hockey app and the Xamarin Insights melded together to give me my mobile telemetry, my mobile monitoring. Application Insights can do that monitoring for everything else that we have as well. So Hockey app allows me to quickly see my crashes. What is that word? I never say it right. Symbolicate? Is that what it is?
Symbolication,
right? So that's where we basically are able to take your call stack and then decode what the variables would be so you see the actual variable names that you're going to recognize in your code and not just memory addresses that are basically useless to most of us. Because I can't read a crash dump, right? But I can read a call stack that's been giving me all my nice pretty names and things like that, line numbers and such. And then Application Insights is basically for all your back-end systems, your web services, things running in Docker, running in app services. It's a really powerful thing. Matter of fact, I use this on one of my sites, and there's this cool SQL Server part that says, hey, I've been watching your SQL Server. You can make this stored procedure faster if you add this stored, you add this column or this index. I was like, holy crap, this is freaking awesome, right? I literally just let it run, and it's suggesting stuff to make my app better for me just by monitoring the way that it was run. It's incredible stuff. So a big fan of App Insights as well. So why don't you show us how we can actually use some of that stuff for our application?
Sure.
He invented Hockey App, but he can't control a clicker.
So here I'm on my Hockey App dashboard, and the dashboard of Hockey App is similar to my iPhone home screen, shows me all my apps no matter what role I have. So I can see here lots of apps that I'm either a developer or a tester, and then I can just filter it down. So if I'm only, you know, in developer mode, I don't want to test other stuff, I can just say, you know, give me that for the role developer, and now I'm seeing the apps that I'm actually developing. And here's my Coffee Tip Android app, and here's my Coffee Tip iOS app. I can click on an app, and I get to see the overview page for that app. So you can see, you know, the latest version is 1.0.199, and I had 6 downloads. So some guys here in the audience downloaded the app.
Cool.
I can see the crashes here, so I can see, you know, last 30 days, I had 7 crashes, and 2 just today. I can see my download history, and then I also see my usage data, like, you know, users and sessions. And so you can see here, in the last 2 days, we were testing on Test Cloud, and because Test Cloud is running real devices, of course, those devices count too, right? They are real users in terms of device IDs. So I had 33 users yesterday, and 32 of them were new, and the only one who wasn't new was me, right? So And then I can see the same for sessions, so I can see how often have my users used the app. So you can see here the 33 users had 70 sessions. Now, if I go back here to the top, I see all my crash reports, and I can dive into a crash report to see the stack trace, to see how many users were impacted by this crash, which OS version was seeing that crash, and then I see the full stack trace with my method name, my file name, and my line number. Now, if you go back here to the overview view, you can see also this little track thing. And what this is that HockeyApp actually has a connection back into Visual Studio Team Services. I can configure more than 10 different bug tracking systems, Jira, GitHub, or Visual Studio Team Services. And whenever a new crash happens for my app and it's fully symbolicated, I get automatically a work item in Visual Studio Team Services. And this closes the mobile DevOps loop because now, you know, I started with code, I pushed it into the repository, I built it, I released it, I tested it, a crash has happened, and now I'm back into my work item, into my backlog, and I can work on those items again. So I can simply click here, and it opens Team Services with my work item. I can see a little bit information about the crash, like a stack trace. I get the reason, I get a backlink to HockeyApp, and now I can work on this crash. And, and the coolest thing is if I close this and say close here and save it, then my crash group on HockeyApp will also be closed because they're connected with each other, right? So it's two different products, but they're connected with each other. They're working together. So if I go back here into my overview and it worked, then you should see a resolve. Yeah, there's the resolve for that crash group.
Awesome,
right?
Awesome.
So this is the closing of the DevOps loop. Now, in addition, I have instrumented my app also with what we call custom events. So in certain positions of my code, I'm tracking an event. So the event that I'm tracking is Starbucks. So whenever somebody picks Starbucks, I'm counting it, right? So I can see this event happened 31 times in the last 7 days. Similar to the user metrics, I get 7-day and 30-day charts, and I can charts and can click on those to see more details. Now, HockeyApp uses, to get this, you need to integrate the HockeyApp SDK, but Hockey SDK is not isolated inside of Microsoft. It uses the same endpoint that other telemetry systems use. And one example is Application Insights. Application Insights is our other telemetry solution, and I want to quickly show you this, how this works. So instead of the copy tip app, I'm using a different app here because it has just way more data. It's the Evolve app from a conference where Donovan and I spoke in April. So you would think, you know, April, that's a long time ago. Who's still using that conference app? But as you can see here in the data points, a lot of users are still using it, right? There were like 493 data points just 2 days ago. So let's see what this data is. So I click on Analytics here, and it opens the Application Insights Analytics portal, which offers me a database of all my raw events. So I can simply open a query field here and say just custom events. And if I run this query, what happens is it queries a NoSQL database with all my event data in it. And it is over 10,000 records, so 10,000 are loaded here, but it's more than that data in there. And I can see for every single event, so that's the event when somebody clicked on the feed page, all the data like the session ID, the user ID, the version of the app. But I can also see, you know, oh, this guy was coming from California. So I can now use the query language here to dive deeper into this data. So I want to see, you know, how many events were sent from either New Zealand or Australia. So I can do this here by querying for the country. And as you can see, whenever I type a keyword, I'm getting auto completion. So I don't actually need to know what all the columns are. So I can just say, you know, I want New Zealand or Australia. And then I want to exclude those where I don't know the city because this is just boring if the city is empty. So now I can query again, and now I hopefully get a subset of my data. Yeah, I'm down to 672 records. So I have 672 custom events from New Zealand, Australia. Now I want to see, you know, where are those users coming from? And I can drill in further here and say, you know, summarize this for me by the distinct count of user ID. And then group it by the city, right? So this gives me a count per city, how many users were using the app in that city. So I can do that again, and now I get a mapping between the city and the number of users. So you can see Auckland has 5 users. Now I want to compare this with the other cities, so can simply continue here my query and say, render me a pie chart. And now my screen is a little bit small, but you should see this pie chart. So here's all the cities, and you can see Auckland has the most users. You. And now, okay, but there's too many cities here. I don't like this. So it's really powerful query language. I can simply store the result of that distinct count into a variable called user count. And then now I can use that user count variable like a column. So I can say, you know, sort this by, sort by user count. descending, and then limit it to the first five entries, right? Now I'm getting basically the number of distinct users for each city, and then I sort it by most users first, and then I get the first five cities. So that's my top five cities for my app. And I click go, and yoo-hoo, Auckland still leads, right? And I get five cities, Adelaide, Cranbourne, Brisbane, and Christchurch. Now, you know, for this is fun, but for a real telemetry dashboard, I probably want to add something more. I want to say, you know, it's only those users in the last 30 days, because everybody else who was not using my app any longer is churned out. So now, in that scenario, Adelaide is first, but Auckland is still close second. And now I have my chart. That's the chart I want for my business telemetry. And I can simply pin that to my Azure dashboard, and it appears on my Azure dashboard here through that button. Or I can also export it into Excel, or even more powerful, into Power BI Query. And with this, I can pin it to my Power BI dashboard, and I get exactly the telemetry I want from my apps with Application Insights Analytics.
Why in the world are people still using that app? I just don't understand. The conference was in April. I don't know what's in there that you would still want to go back to that thing.
I don't know.
It was a cool app and all, but I just don't know why they're still using it. Okay, now this is an interesting one for me, because I was fascinated when Thomas explained this one to me, to where you don't have to change your code to secure your application. It's something that happens after the fact, which I thought was fantastic. Yeah. So I have an application, and I don't want people copying and pasting sensitive data from a document that I've sent them into Facebook, or accidentally putting it out on Twitter and linking something that's really, really important. And with this technology that we're having, it allows us to do that without telling the programmer to go do anything special. It's just something that we bolt on after, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a transition between developer tools and IT tools, right? We are both in developer division in Microsoft. We develop team services in Hawkey App and Test Cloud. And then there's another division that takes care of security, and they offer a product called Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite with different services. AED is one that probably most of the users here in the room have already used to sign into their corporate accounts. Intune is another one. And we want to dive deeper here because you can combine Intune with Hawkey App or your App Store app to get even more security for your apps.
Okay.
So this is like the typical scenario with an unprotected app, right? I take Word as an example here. I have Word, and it's mixing my documents from corporate resources with my personal documents to my mom or to my wife or to the health insurance, right? Okay. Now I want to secure this, and I can secure it in two ways. The first one is mobile application management, and what that does is that it wraps the app with an SDK, the Intune MEM SDK, and allows me to control per app and per logged-in user what the user is allowed to do. So you can restrict cut, copy, and paste, and for example. And the way it works is I can still copy, but I can only paste in the apps that I secured by the same MEM profile. So I can copy data between, for example, Word and Outlook, because I'm signed in with my Microsoft account with both Word and Outlook, but I can no longer copy the secret data from Word into Facebook or into Twitter. So this is MEM, and the powerful thing here is I don't need any device enrollment. It's per app and per user account, right? I'm protecting the app, and the user still owns the device. They have the full flexibility with the device without any device enrollment.
Gotcha.
And then the second one is device enrollment. Now, that gives me the full power of security, right? I get my Wi-Fi certificate. If the passcode is wrong after five times my device is wiped, or if somebody steals my device, I can just call my IT admin and wipe the complete device remotely. So with MDM, you get the full protection of the whole device. With MAM, you can only protect the app itself and the data inside the app.
Gotcha.
And I want to very quickly show how that works and how you can enable your app for security.
All right, very quickly.
Yeah.
I think we're all rolling over.
So the cool thing about Intune is that I don't even have to get access to my code. So it's perfect for my IT team, right? They can just take any build and wrap it with the Intune SDK. And I show here in the console how that works. I call the Intune package manager, and then I give it this cryptic thing, but it's really only a hash of my certificate, so Intune knows how to re-sign my app with my enterprise certificate. I give it the name of my APA file, a new name for the outputted APA file, and then my provisioning profile that I use for iOS provisioning. And then in addition to this, I can also increase the version number, so that's super useful for testing, so I know the wrapped version is a different one than my automated version. Now, we have shown earlier that I can just automate everything on the console with VSTS, so of course you can also run the same thing from a bash in VSTS. And it takes a few minutes, so I'm not doing this here, but I have already done it before, so if I'm showing my desktop, here's my wrapped APA file, and I just go to Hawkey App now, you know, and take my IPA file, and drag and drop it to the Hawkey app upload upload to the Hockey App dashboard, and it uploads immediately to Hockey App. And now, once the upload is done, I can just give it release notes, and then you on your devices that have installed the demo app can go back to the demo app, the update dialog will show up that Donovan has shown, the app will be installed, and now all of a sudden you can no longer use the app. All you will see is an AAD login prompt. And while the upload is running, I show you how that is configured. So I'm going back here to Azure, and I pick the Intune in the sidebar, so that's the Intune menu here. And I can define policies for my apps, right? So I click on app policy here. Here's my coffee tip application. And under policy settings, I can now define what that app is allowed to do, right? So you can say, you know, the updated app with the Intune wrapper can still do iTunes and iCloud backups. I'm fine with that. I want to allow app transfer, but only to other apps that are managed by the same policy. I don't care about Save As because I don't really have Save As in my coffee tip app. And then there's other things like I can require a PIN access. So whenever somebody launches the app, they first have to enter a 4-digit PIN. And it even supports Touch ID on the iPhone, right? So when my device is just laying on my desk, it's still secured by the PIN. So somebody who gets access to my device and can launch the app still has to enter the PIN to see my Word documents. So I can set all those policies. And now if I go back here to my upload is finished, I just say app wrap with Intune SDK. And I release the app, so that's the manual flow that we haven't shown before. VSTS does all that automatically. I can notify my users, or if you now go onto your iPhone and update the app, it will be fully protected, and even if it leaks, and we had that at Microsoft at some point, it will be protected with our corporate AAD.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So this is a great way for you to be able to do this after the code has been built. And that's what blew my mind, is like, okay, so what I gotta go train my developers to do now, right? What APK or what SDK do we have to download? What new whatever do they have to learn? Like, oh, you don't have to learn anything. Just give us your binary, or we're gonna protect it after the fact. And I just thought that was fascinating and really cool technology. So, of course, if you do what he just said and you get the update, you can't use the app anymore. So just FYI, right? So it's a cool demo, but
you can always restore from the history, right?
There you
so go.
Go
to the history on the download page. You can do that anytime later, AKMS Ktip or AKMS Ktip. Restore to the previous version, see how the update works, see how the update the app works. If you actually select the code brew in the iOS app, the app crashes, so you can simulate a crash because code brew sucks. So
yeah. Very cool. So what we basically want to do is talk about really quickly all the different tools at Microsoft that we demoed today. So we talked about Visual Studio Team Services. It is absolutely free, guys. You can go right now, everyone hearing my voice, everyone watching the live stream, go to visualstudio.com, and you can create a VSTS account for free. That gives you everything that we just talked about, source control, work item tracking, build, release management, all of it for any language targeting any platform. Then you obviously have Xamarin Test Cloud where you can get a trial account there too and start playing with testing your application on physical devices. Hockey App, I think you also can do one or two apps on Hockey App.
Yeah, two apps are free and then a month is completely free. And you can also now use it, buy it through the VS Marketplace using the Azure subscription. So if you already have an Azure subscription, you can just book it onto the Azure subscription.
Perfect, perfect. And then finally Intune, which is the app, which was the solution that allowed us to protect our app after the fact, right?
So one thing to point out here, we are working on the next generation product. So if you want to help us and define that product, please take that survey here and give us some feedback how you're using build, how you're using DevOps, how you're using delivery. And we will soon have something new for you guys. And then we also have stickers. So if you want to grab a sticker, we have Hockey App Zambonis and Hockey App Rings. Come on up here and grab a sticker.
Guys, thank you so much for spending your time with us. I think we're running late, but I will be around and so will Thomas if you have questions. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good job, man.